What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagrebem zloty gnev.
Hello and welcome to Put It In Age, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Yeah, it certainly is. I'm coming at you with a bit of a heavy heart, to be honest, this week.
Oh.
Because this is the last time we're going to be recording in my current abode.
Yes. Yeah.
I am on the verge. The next couple of days I will be moving. So next week I'll be coming from a completely different location, and the sound, the optics, everything is going to be different.
How have you found the moving process so far?
It's been tough enough. Got the keys the other day, and so I've kind of been moving stuff up. I did most of it yesterday evening, so
right.
We're kind of back and forth between two places.
Yeah.
So we're kind of hopefully be finished in the next couple of days.
You won't know yourself, Terry.
Oh, can't wait. It has a big front garden, a nice little back garden for barbecue. I tell you, I've already been watering the grass, so it'll grow. I've got grass seeds planted there for a couple of little patches and stuff.
Are you going to grow any...
vegetables?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. Well, maybe. I don't know. Like, we'll
it's
see.
Fun. We've just started to grow our own vegetables. And
I hope it's just
it is just vegetables.
Yeah.
And because we have the greenhouse, it's falling apart, to be honest, but it's still technically a greenhouse, so once it doesn't collapse when I'm in it, then I'm laughing. Listen, cards on the table, Terry.
Yes,
my energy level's lower today.
Twofold,
right? I apologize in advance to you and to the listener. I'm sitting on a very comfortable couch, which, if you ask Jerry Seinfeld, will tell you it's all about energy. I couldn't have picked a worse seating. What is it? You ignorant prick. What is it?
Hold on, let me get it.
Hope it goes all over the place.
It's funny you said the word hope, because it is a Hope Brewing Hop On Session IPA.
Did they just throw a bunch of words together? It doesn't make any sense. Hop On.
Yeah,
because it's hope,
but it's hope. The picture on the can is a dart, you know, like a Dublin Area Rapid Transit.
Oh, you know? like the train?
Yeah, because so you hop on, you see.
Oh, I get
you
it.
Look at it there. Like,
I wanna see it.
I'm showing it to you.
Okay.
You know? Well. And I tell you,
that's very local. I appreciate how local it seems.
They describe it as juicy, hazy, and tropical.
Okay, go on.
Man, oh man, are they right?
Let me guess. Now, I was listening back to the last episode, and I remember from looking at you, you didn't like that beer last week, did you?
I did, the oatmeal.
Yeah, the oaty.
It was tasty.
I thought I detected a grimace, to be honest. My energy's low, Terry. One, because I'm on the couch. Two, I was doing a bit of running today.
I noticed you've been posting stuff on your...
I know, I'm sorry, I can't help it. If ever I have a personal best, I do post it. I have an inner battle with myself, but you know what?
I was impressed. What was it like?
12K.
That's good, man.
In an hour six. Yeah, I was happy with it. But it's mad.
12K,
Oh man, my knee is killing me, to be honest. but it's weird, because it was like, 3 days ago I ran and I barely did 5K, and I was spent after that. And today, like, I honestly could have kept going, but it was just my knee was starting to be a bit sore, and I had to come back for dinner. And
are you running every day? Sorry.
No, which I probably should be.
You shouldn't be. That's the thing.
Right.
Because you're saying your knee is at you. Your Achilles will start next or whatever, like, you know, and you won't, it'll take you longer to recover. Like, you have to take a rest day.
Yeah, I know, yeah, I've been doing that definitely.
Especially if you're just starting back, like, it'll fucking kill you, like.
But it really, when I struggled to do the 5K one, I hadn't eaten anything all day. And it's just mad to actually see it in action, like, the difference that actually putting calories into your body has when you're expelling calories.
That's the hard thing, because they say if you're looking for just pure weight loss, they say get up and do it first thing when you have ingested no calories, because you will burn off your excess from the night before or whatever. Whereas if you have a banana or something like that, like you're burning off your banana and then so that's what they say, like the most effective weight loss stuff is if you get up and do it before you've had anything.
So I could do with losing a few pounds now, I'm not going to lie.
I'm with you, buddy. Now, I weighed myself a couple of weeks ago. I was the heaviest I'd been in like 12 years.
Give me the number.
Between 210 and 215, like.
210, 215 pounds?
Yeah.
All like, right.
That's okay. Heavy. Heavy. Okay. Now, I've lost about 7 pounds since then. Because
right.
I've cut back on these beers anyway. I have my ritual of Wednesday night beer. But in fairness, I had been drinking like 4 a day.
Right. beer actually has a year.
Oh, it's so bad. Like the height of quarantine, it was just like constantly beer, wine, whatever. Like the first week, I went around to the off license and bought, just in case we can't get out, like 6 bottles of wine and like 10 beers.
Take all you can carry.
Pretty much like. So I've dramatically cut back that, and I'm walking 10K a day at least.
Nice.
Like, you know, so I'm getting and trying, and then I'm also kind of been cutting back on my shitty foods as well.
Yeah, you've been doing fairly well on that. I can't say the same for myself now, to be honest. The run is almost to negate all the shit that I did.
I know
the days previous.
That's the worst thing. Like.
What else has been going on with you anyway?
You know what? Since we last talked, we talked about the Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
Did you watch any?
I watched the whole thing.
Did you like it?
I did. I liked it. Yeah. I see it got some pretty negative reviews of like old man
out of touch with
reality. Yeah, like.
But
I didn't really get that at all. I personally, as an old man who likes to yell, I related with it very much.
I think. Like, that's what he's selling. He talks about it in the show. He's like, I'm in my 60s.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to stop and talk. I can just put my hand up and be like, and walk away. Like, you know,
that's
one of the jokes. So I did see a lot of that stuff where it was like millennials being like, my God. Like, I was just like, if you're going to come at it from that way, fair enough. If you're not into it, you're not into it.
Yeah.
But like, if you go into it with like, oh, this is what he's selling, you know, I'm aware of that and I'm going to see if I like it or not then.
He's just like we said last week, like when I look up the word professional comedian in the dictionary, it's featured his face just going
but since then I have been doing packing around the house or whatever, and I decided to stick on a few other ones just while we have something on in the background. So I stuck on Pete Davidson from New York.
How was it?
Have you seen it?
No.
I don't know if you like this guy or not, do you?
I have only seen him on Comedy Central roasts. And he seemed quite funny. I know he used to go out with Ariana Grande, and that's about all I know.
Like,
was it good?
I didn't think it was super hilarious, but I enjoyed just listening to him talk.
Yeah,
like he's a real interesting guy. Like, you know, like he's a guy. He talked about how like he's microdosing mushrooms and like he's constantly smoking weed, and you know. His dad talked about, you know, some stuff with his dad who died
in 9/11.
That
was the only thing I actually knew about him, really, because people just roasted him about his dad dying in 9/11 on this roast. There's a comedian, Natasha Leggero, and she was like really funny. And she's like, but this isn't the roast of Pete Davidson's father. It's like, that was in 2001. I'm like, oh my God.
Fucking hell. But he was good. And then I watched a couple of Mike Birbiglia.
I've heard good things about him.
He is very good.
Was he good? Yeah.
Yeah. His is I don't want to say it's polished, but he has it down. Like, he has, it's kind of a different thing.
He's been doing it a long time, I think, as well.
Yeah, and he's a big improv guy as well. But yeah, like, he, I was actually quite impressed at how, like, it is pure performance. Not that he, like, it's he's telling one long story, but he's jumping in between different time periods and linking the three things together or whatever like that.
Yeah, just
like,
well put together set. Like,
very, very good. So My Girlfriend's nice. Boyfriend was the first one, and then I watched Thank God for Jokes. But I was impressed with them. And then I was like, maybe I'm going to get back into the old watching of stand-up comedy.
Yes.
You know, just put, I need to pick and choose.
I tell you what, guys, if I can recommend a few, right?
Yeah.
Now you're going to say, no, I don't like him. Right. Tom Segura's specials are
don't
very
like
funny.
Him straight away. He's been talking shit about wrestling.
I've
lately.
Seen that. Yeah. People are freaking out about this.
I think it's a work, but
it is a work. It's a complete work. But now, to be fair, his last special, Ball Hog, is probably his worst one. But the ones before, he's got about three before that. They are some of the best specials I've seen in a while.
Okay.
Bill Burr's got like five or six up there. Paper Tiger, the new one, was very good. It's good. I mean, if you talk about professional, like, he's in that category. Like,
I'd be more interested in checking out who's the guy that opened for him when we went to see Bill Burr. Rory Cochrane? No.
Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
Straight away, it's like, I want to talk about anal sex. Straight away, someone had to get up and leave. He's like, sir, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir.
Sir.
You went to open that door. No, that door won't work, sir. Excuse me. oh, God. That Bill Burr thing was great when we saw it. The fact that it was in the Vodafone Comedy Festival, straight away I was like, ah. But then I was like, okay, it'll be good. You're on these metal chairs with no aircon. And he even came out, if you remember, he's like, I'm sorry, I thought it was a venue. He's like, next time I play, I promise there'll be doors.
It was good. No, it was good. I enjoyed that. But I don't know. I'm kind of gone off him, is what I'll say. And I'm sure to see him live in the moment is great. I've been seeing his clips and stuff, and I've just been like, no, this one's not for me, you know?
I know what you mean. If you're talking about Netflix, I don't know what their goal is on their stand-ups. Okay.
Not even Netflix.
All right, you know?
What else have I been watching? Here's one for us. It's a new documentary on Netflix, speaking of. It's called, I think it's called Have a Nice Trip, Adventures in Psychedelics. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
And it's basically a bunch of celebrities just talking about, you know, their experience with mushrooms, acid, peyote, ayahuasca. Yeah. So I was thinking, Andy, maybe me and you do a little bonus Patreon episode on our drug experiments. Also, we drop acid while we do it.
That sounds great. I thought you were going to say, what do you say, me and you do a couple of mushrooms and get on the mics. That's great for the Patreon.
Little bonus Patreon drug. We talk about our experiences with drug, and there has been many.
We're not talking class A's here, people.
No. Well, we'll see on the drug episode.
Listen, what else has been going on?
That's a pretty good. It's very like light fluff, and it's just a lot of talking heads talking about, like, Sarah Silverman talking about when she did acid, Sting talking about, you know, peyote and how it opened up his worldview, etc. Like,
tantric sex opened up his world to tantric sex.
Didn't we touch on the tantric sex part of it?
Disappointing.
Well, you know, I also have been watching.
Yes.
Oh, I watched this new show on HBO. Have you seen it?
No, definitely not.
It's called I Know This Much Is True.
No.
Starring Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Don't even.
No,
don't
I didn't
even.
Say that.
No, I saw your face. We're on video.
I saw him. I cards on the table. I've watched Avengers. I'm not going to talk about it. I've already watched it in advance. Ooh. Mark Ruffalo was in it.
Mm-hmm. But he is. It's based on a memoir of some. Faye got very excited when I showed her it was on the because she loved the book.
Right, what's the
and
book?
I know this much is true.
Okay.
So, and it's based, it's two brothers, two twin brothers. One is a paranoid schizophrenic, and it's kind of deal, it mainly focuses on the other brother that kind of has to deal with looking after him, also the mother. It's only a 6-episode thing, but it is, I remember thinking to myself, fucking hell, like this is
good.
It's so good, and it's so real, and he's so good in it. Like I said, I turned to Faye at this one point where like his mom is real sick, and she won't open up to him. Talk about the brother is causing him a lot of angst, and the stepdad is, you know, just being a dickhead, and he's in the car, and I was like, oh my god, I was like, I can totally see why they picked him to play the Hulk, because he's just holding everything together, but he's like, everything is under the surface.
Yeah,
that he's about to like erupt or whatever.
I did get that impression already. From
really, him. Really, he's really, really good in it, and he plays both roles. So he plays the paranoid schizophrenic and the regular one, for lack of a better term. But
I don't know what my issue is with him. To be honest, I feel
there
like
there should be no issue. He's fucking deadly.
I think he's fine. But I keep hearing Mark Ruffalo. I love Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway. Also, got to fit in The Departed over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, well, we stick on something. We had the baby in bed early, and we had made a nice dinner. It was like 7:30 on a Sunday, and it was like, we stick on something. We were like flicking around on Netflix, and I kind of said, oh, maybe Training Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I was just thinking that. And she's like, what was that film with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jack Nicholson? I was like, The Departed. Like, so we...
Your hand was fumbling with the remote trying to get it on quick enough.
Took a spill trying to catch it. But it still holds up.
I've only seen it once. And I feel like it's one of those movies that I should know well.
I know it inside out. I've seen it fucking 10 times almost. Really? But it's just like you kind of... I picked up on a lot of like how good Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
What, like the first few times I watch it, it's just like, oh, he's being kind of wacky and crazy, but he's like, I'll like real plays it very close a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon, I think, is actually the unsung hero of that film. Like,
Let him go! Suck a fuck! I don't have to fucking explain anything to anybody. I can fucking investigate anybody I fucking want.
Let him go! Come on!
I don't give a fuck what you think. Captain, I got reason to believe that Quinney got killed by his own fucking undercover.
That's a fucking lie.
He has fucking information in a locked file, as did Captain Queen, and I need access to those files.
Yeah, I forgot the password, but if you want to come down to the garage with me, I'd be happy to give it to you.
That's a fucking lie.
Mark Wahlberg kind of ruins it for me. I'm not going to go on about good. Mark Wahlberg. He's a parody. Is his character, like, every time he started talking, I would laugh. Mark Wahlberg has been, ruining movies. Left, right, and centre since he got into this business. I'm like, oh, that could have been good, but Mark Wahlberg was in it.
You're wrong. I'm not saying he is 100% at bat the whole time. This is one of his best ones, but he's only in the film for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's why it's one of his best ones.
No, what else? The Fighter he's fucking, that's probably his best performance, and nobody talked about him because Christian Bale was fucking... so crazy, the over-the-top junkie brother, and the mom was so
Christ,
over-the-top.
You're amateur. That's all. As soon as I hear Christian Bale, I'm thinking of that tirade.
Like, fucking walk across it.
Christ, you're amateur. Yeah. Oh, good for you. Yeah. I've been watching a bit more, if I may throw in, of The Last Dance. Have you watched any of it?
Watched the first two. Just finished this. Oh, I love it, man.
Yes.
It's such a well put together documentary. I just finished... Jordan against the Celtics, essentially.
I love the way they go back and forth and all this. They've got like Barack Obama and Bill Clinton talking and all this. Like, I love the fact that they have Michael Jordan talking now, makes it like, you know what I mean?
What's with his eyes? Like,
I don't know. They seem like permanently glazed over.
They seem permanently bloodshot. I'm like, is he high or is it?
I think that's just his eyes.
Is this from years of whatever? Like, you know,
he loves a cry, as we've seen. We've all seen the GIF. Or the meme.
No. From The Last Dance?
No, just Michael Jordan crying. Like, you ever seen that? plastered all over the internet. It's kind of died down a bit.
I mean, he's an arsehole, so.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But, yeah, it's really good, really good. I want to watch some more of it. So.
Yeah, I just started. I've literally got episode 7 paused right here in front of me. I'll tell you who I love. Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, oh, man. I love that interview that he's doing where they're like, you know, you're low on the contract, or, you know, whatever. My time will come. Yeah. My time will come. And I was like, yeah, good for you, Scottie.
I always just remember playing NBA Jam, and I'd always just pick the Chicago Bulls because it'd be Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, and their stats were clearly the best.
It's bringing back so many memories of, like, how, like, during a period in my early teens, I was mad into NBA, like, watching it on Channel 4 all the time, and I would know, you know, who's playing for the San Antonio Spurs, or, you know, that sort of, like, following the conference playoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me want to get back into watching it. Like.
Yeah. We should play basketball, Terry. Bit of one-on-one.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've never played basketball in my life. No. But can I ask your opinion on the recent announcement that the government have greenlit the Premier League restart behind closed doors June 1st.
I think it's a bit foolish, to be honest.
Right. But,
you know, it's football. I was talking to Andy Ryan about this not too long ago, and he was saying, basically, they have to get it done before a certain time because they have been paid so much money. The FA have been paid so much money by Sky and BT Sport.
Right.
And
for a full season.
For a certain amount of games. And if they don't fulfill it, they have to pay back all that money. Oh, and it's shit. Like fucking shit ton. Like, I can't even remember the figure. I remember my jaw dropping when he told me. What? Like, so they have like 40, Sky has like 40 games still to be filled. And like,
oh, right.
BT have so many. I don't know. But like, it's going to be.
I, for one, am glad that it's back, if they can do it safely, because, I mean, either way, Liverpool were winning the title, like, regardless. The season was never going to be null and void.
Look at the Dutch league.
What did they do?
Yeah, they null and voided their league.
God. I would be inconsolable if that happened. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've been putting it off and like, no.
So good.
I would be inconsolable.
If it was any other country, if it wasn't for those idiots in England that are running the country, then like,
for once, like, their stupidity is paying off.
Philip Schofield having a right go at them there the other day. Was he? This morning. He was like, what is it? What do we do here? Like, it's, you know, you're telling us, being very vague, don't go to work unless you absolutely have to. But at the same time, like,
what was the slogan the Boris had? It was like, be alert. Be alert. Control the virus. Save lives. Like, that's not helpful at all. Be alert. What are you talking about? We're all alert. Be alert. That's not helpful at all. It's the most confusing, simplest slogan that I've ever heard.
Tame, like, isn't it? Like, I have one more thing I want to talk about before we get into The Simpsons.
Go on.
I don't know if you've been seeing, or if you're up to date on the hot ones.
Oh, yes, very much.
So the last one they did was JT, like the last in-studio one.
Yeah.
And I watched that, and I thought he was kind of a strange guy.
I didn't particularly like the Justin Timberlake one. I thought he was very boring.
No, he looked like he was wrecked. Yeah. He looked like he'd been up doing something till all hours the night before. Like, like his really big bags under his eyes. But it got me thinking about Justin Timberlake, and I was like, man, it's mad that he was in, like, in from the 2010s, two of the best films of the 2010s that I've seen.
Which ones?
Like, Social Network and Inside Llewyn Davis. And he's excellent.
He picks his role as well.
Oh, man, like.
He was good in Black Snake Moan.
What?
He was good in Black Snake Moan.
I never saw it. I still didn't
see
it.
What? Yeah. Oh, what a movie.
I know why you picked it.
Why?
Like Christina Ricci tied up or chained up or something like.
Well, that's just a bonus. But no. I didn't know the plot when I was watching it. I just seen Sam Jackson was a blues singer and he was actually playing the guitar. I was like, fucking hell.
Oh, really?
But yeah. Properly.
Please keep singing.
Let's make it evil.
must have seen the DVD when we had them as rentals in Centra. I used to see it there all the time, and I was like,
It's a bit of a cheap looking movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought that was great. On Hot Ones, though, I tell you who I did like, and because I do like him in general, Zac Efron. What a nice guy.
Yes.
What a guy.
And I liked the Shia LaBeouf one as well. And
I did too,
And he was like, Shia did this? Okay, like, let's go.
Well, yeah, it was very good.
I think Sean Evans had Corona.
Did
virus.
He?
I think so, because he had like a little video of him in his house, and he basically said like he collapsed like twice from like,
jeez,
because he had like a cut on his head, and he said he was like coming from the bathroom to his living room, and he said like he could just see like red and black, and then like he collapsed. Oh, then he got up again, and the same thing happened a minute later, and he whacked his head off his coffee table. Like,
no.
But like he never said he had Corona, but like it was.
He's great. I think he's an excellent host. I don't know if it's the fact that they ask very good questions and he's just getting the credit for it or whatever. But I do even think that he's good at sort of riding the wave and good at like riffing with, you know, really well-known people, making them feel sort of at home and, you know.
I go up and down on him. I'm kind of back up on him at the moment.
Good to hear it.
Like, there's sometimes I'm just like, if I look at someone, I'm like, oh, he's a bit annoying today.
I'm annoyed today. So
that's
how I operate.
My favorite one recently was the Paul Rudd one.
What a great guy!
Look at us. I don't know if you saw that story. Actually, sorry to cut you off. It was on Twitter. And she had a thread, and it was like she was on a plane with Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
sitting next to each other or like near each other. And she turned around to him and was like, hey, look at us, huh? and she was like, oh, I kind of embarrassed myself. But then she was on her way to the Super Bowl to watch the KC Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah. And as you know, Paul Rudd is from Kansas City. She ended up in the locker room afterwards. She's press credentials or whatever.
Right.
And Paul Rudd was in there. And he noticed her and he turned around and he's like, hey, look at us, huh? And I was like, God, oh, that's why he's the king.
He is great.
Yeah.
I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
But I have to say though, I watched I Love You Man recently. I turn off.
Really?
I don't like him in that at all. I don't like that movie at all, actually. I loved it when I first seen it. And then I watched it again. I was like, oh, I don't like this.
He's more fun when he is like a bit more body, when he's not like the nebbish like character, like
the surfer in Sarah Marshall. The weather Kunu. Outside is weather.
Kunu, hey.
But there was one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Terry. And as you know, I have a cat, right?
Yes.
And we got now for ages. I've been kind of, because I never had a cat really before in my adult life. I'm fascinated by them, right?
Less said about Tiddles, the better.
You said it, man. And she was given away. They told us children that she ran away because we didn't look after her. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can. Very much
psychological.
So.
I mean, anyway, my mother listens to this. Mother, I'm over it. It's fine. But
he's not. He totally isn't.
Some might say he never got over it. But anyway, I've been sort of looking at her in the garden, sort of, you know, hunting and stalking. And I'm always like, yeah, go on, get it. You know, there's a bird. Now, I don't really want it to kill the birds, but, you know, I like to see her, you know, being herself.
Have a fun,
and, yeah. Doing what cats do. Anyway, we got a birdhouse last week. And yesterday I walked into my bathroom and there was a dead bird on the floor.
That was a present for you.
And no, not even that. She's now killed 3 birds in a week. And she killed 0 birds before that. So I don't know what I was looking for, to be honest. And now it's like she comes in and she's like meow, and she's all like, you know, cute label, and I'm petting her, but like it's like, you know, I know that, she's a murderer, like.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's nature, man.
I know. I mean I'm glad that she's being a cat, but I'm also like, yeah, okay. Nice kitty.
It's not going to kill you. Like.
I know. But so anyway, a few dead birds around me, Gaff.
You know what? It's a good trade-off to have. A nice cat for a few dead birds. I'd take it any day of the week.
Stick them in a pan. Throw a bit of salt and chili on that.
Yeah, I'd say they'd turn out lovely browned.
Listen, Derry.
Pluck them, brown them.
Brown them?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Cook them? Do them on the pan, but like, you know.
I'm not a great cook, Terry. I don't get the only thing that I can cook very well, Terry, very well, is scrambled eggs.
How do you do your scrambled eggs?
In the pan.
Sure, but how do you do them?
I put in at least 4 eggs if it's just me.
Okay.
Eggs, bit of butter,
a lot of eggs,
salt and salt and pepper, a bit of butter, a bit of milk.
Now, hold on. What's your technique, though? Is it the butter goes in the bowl with the eggs and the salt and pepper?
The butter goes in. They all go in together, and then I chuck them all
in
the
bowl.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And then I sometimes will add a little bit of pepper or something. I only do a little bit at the start, and then I'll throw in my final seasoning when they're done.
The trick is,
Terry, is to... Because you see, when they're in the pan, they're still cooking a little bit. You know what I mean? So you want to finish it just a little bit before they're done, so they're not too dry.
Okay. Now, I would suggest.
Go on.
When you're mixing all your stuff together in the bowl.
Yeah.
Don't put the butter in the bowl. Put the butter on the pan.
What?
And let the butter melt onto the pan. So there's your base right there.
Put the butter onto the pan. Let it melt onto the pan.
And then put the rest in.
You're blowing my mind right now.
It's instead of using like oil or spray or whatever.
But the pan, yeah, but I don't even put any of that on. I just throw it in raw. Raw dog.
Look, you try it my way and tell me how you think.
But the butter will evaporate by the time...
It melts, and then you put the stuff on top and it all mixes it together. Lovely.
Okay. And then do you put milk?
I used to. I don't anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
that it? Salt and pepper, any seasoning?
Salt and pepper, sometimes some chilies. Chili flakes.
Okay.
Chili flakes or a bit of... I tell you what's nice, a bit of cumin.
I'm scared of cumin, Terry.
Cumin's good.
Don't know how much to use.
If you're ever making sweet potato fries, here's the trick. When you have them chopped and you put them in your bowl with a bit of oil, some cumin on there and then mix it all together.
I wouldn't be cutting potatoes and making chips now. I would just buy the bag of the thin ones.
Oh, Andy, come on.
That's my style, Terry.
My style.
Listen, can I talk to you about The Simpsons, Terry?
Sure.
More specifically, can I talk to you about the 17th episode of season 6
mm-hmm.
of The Simpsons, Homer versus Patty and Selma,
mm-hmm.
Aired on the Fox Network February 26, 1995, written by Brent Forrester. And directed by Mark Kirkland, with David Merkin serving as the executive producer. It was Brent Forrester's first time receiving a writing credit.
I was going to say, and it kind of makes a bit of sense as we go along.
Yeah, it was a different kind of episode, wasn't it?
It was.
Bart, ballet teacher, was voiced by Susan Sarandon. And you know what? I never knew that.
Oh, I knew.
It was designed to look a little bit like her, and Sarandon wanted to guest star on the show because her kids were big fans, so she brought them to her recording session and all that. But due to a traffic jam, she was late for her recording session, and once she arrived, she fell into character and worked. So look, listen, cards on the table, I'm reading that out loud, and that took me nowhere. She was good, is what it is, basically. All right, I've shown myself up there.
What are the Nielsens? Have you got the Nielsens there, or did you already give me those?
The Nielsens, yes. Oh, yeah. I should also say that Mel Brooks also guest starred.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The Nielsen rating was 11.1, equivalent to 10.6 million viewing households, and was the third highest rated show on Fox that week, following Beverly Hills and Married with Children. Still the juggernauts, Beverly Hills and Married with Children.
It's mad. Like, they're always like number one or two. Like,
it's like Mrs. Brown's Boys for the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's a bit better than that. Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say that because they sneak it up on you. You'd have mates and you would trust their taste and stuff, and then you realize they love The Big Bang Theory or they love Mrs. Brown's Boys.
And I'm
being polite, like, oh no, I haven't really watched it. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
And you won't fucking believe it, Kerry. He said The Big Bang Theory.
Like, it's good. No, it is funny. I'm like, oh, is it? Yeah. But anyway. No. That's all I've got because I've done no preparation.
bit of professionalism is all I ask, Andy.
You Terry, brought, you know, no, I can't
you
do
brought
that.
Nothing to the first part. You've got you.
Hey, I talked about my cat, man.
Well, why don't you tell me what you thought of the episode, at least, you son of a bitch.
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
I'm with you.
It was a weird sort of one that it had, like, had some really big laughs.
And big peaks, big valleys.
Big peaks and big valleys. And yeah, it was like big laughs and nothing in between. I did like, I mean, it had one of my biggest laughs, actually, of the series so far in it.
Which was
I gotta find a way to think of money.
Hello, Vegas. Give me $100 on red.
Don't!
All right, I'll send you a check.
I love that. That little bit there where it's like when Marge is apologizing to Patty and Selma about him, and he's like, he's just a complicated man. He's like, wrong! Like, smashing the plate over his head. Like.
Yeah, so there were some big moments like that. I liked the whole sort of threat. I mean, it was a very down to earth sort of episode. You know, they've got money problems and stuff. It's not like Bart gets an elephant or fucking, you know, something else. But I did like how Homer just kind of idolizes Marge throughout the whole episode, and the whole time he's too proud to, you know,
it's a very real story.
You deserve so much better, and all. Yeah, you know, I liked all that side that he just loves Marge. And he didn't have to do something bad, well, apart from be broke, but he didn't have to do something bad to realize that. I like the fact that throughout he's just like, oh, my sweet Marge.
Like, it's like a very human story in that, like, he fucks up and he then wants to, you know, make amends, and he, you know, he gets himself into a situation that way. Yeah. Like, you know, could happen to any one of us, I guess.
Absolutely. But
I really was like, oh, this episode, I love this episode, I had high hopes, and I'm kind of like we're saying, big peaks, big valleys, like, you know, it was good, you know, it was, you know,
like, it's hard. I mean, I'm not quite sure what I like,
considering
it's a Patty and Selma heavy episode, which is never going to be, you know, top tier or anything.
It's very, like with any Simpsons episode, there's very funny moments, and it has one of my favourite characters ever, one-off characters ever, probably my favourite one-off character ever.
I understand
ever.
That, Mr. Simpson.
I need another extension on my mortgage payments.
I understand that, Mr. Simpson, but according to our computer, your credit history is not good. It says here that you've been pre-declined for every major credit card. It also says that you once grabbed a dog by the hind legs and pushed him around like a vacuum cleaner.
That was in the third grade.
Well, it all goes on your permanent record. I'm sorry, but if you don't come up with that money by tomorrow, the bank is going to take your house.
Well, good luck finding it, because I'm going to take the numbers off tonight.
Well, we'll look for the house with no numbers.
And I'll take off the numbers on my neighbor's house.
So, well, then we'll look for the house next to the house with no numbers.
All right, you'll get your money.
And we'll look for the house next to no numbers.
I love how sort of, like, slightly threatening the guy is, like, and it was just the accent,
because
he's
voice,
like, he's a big guy, and he's like, you know, the whole.
But look, it definitely is not my worst of the season. Like, but
no.
I thought it would be closer to the top for me. So maybe we should just get in and start talking about some of our favorite bits.
Please. Like, I will say, the whole premise of how Homer lost his money was very funny.
It's very funny. Like, you know, the whole idea, that it's a great gag. The whole thing of Homer, first of all, handing out the cigars, or Mo, and like the idea, like, Mo is like, oh, this place is going to smell classy all week because of cigars. And the idea of Homer, you know, and he's saying, I invested in pumpkins. He said they're gonna boom right around January. It's like the happy Halloween sign and all, like, that's very good. And then even like his broker, who's another great character.
I love this guy,
Hallway and Knucklehead.
I told you 100 times, you gotta sell your pumpkins before Halloween. Before
the pumpkin futures. I love that as well. Like,
I mean, like, he's
your knuckle beak. That's what it was.
Your knuckle beak. Yeah. But plus, I did like the fact that when Homer was like flaunting his cash, lighting a cigar with money, it's a $1 bill that he quickly puts out the flame and puts back in his wallet.
Money to burn or singe anyway. And then you get I did like this joke, and I do like a lot of the jokes in it, where it's like first of all, when he throws them out.
Yeah, you know, I love that.
Time to take out the trash. But first, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And then, like...
It's like he throws out the whole couch.
Yeah.
Like, at the start. And I love he's sort of, like, fumbling to get it back into the house.
Yeah. And just even them, like... hooking into the couch, like...
Proper actually throwing them out on their arse, like...
And like, we kind of talked about there, you know, him ringing Vegas.
Oh, I love that. Like, it's such that joke is just, like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, hello, Vegas. Like, give me $100 on rent. And why would they be honest with him?
Like,
it's not like, you know, Caesar's Palace. It's like, hello, Vegas. And, like, what, he just trusts them that they'd be like, no, it landed on black.
That's legit, Jake. I love the idea of that, like, oh, I put a bet on with Vegas. Like, it's a real, like... 1950s mentality, almost, like, you know,
and it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like, I love how quick it is, like, it's within 5 seconds he's another $100 down.
Yeah, like, that was a check.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
You kind of get him then, him trying to come up with things, and he has that dream.
Congratulations, Mr. Simpson, this invention of yours has made us all rich, especially you. It's simple yet ingenious, and it fits right in the palm of your hand. Every person in America now owns one of these, and in many cases, three or four.
Could I just get a look at that?
No, why would you need to see it? You're the genius who invented the product in question.
But could I just...
Now, don't worry. You'll get to see it just as soon as we unveil our new ad campaign.
Let me see, out of the way!
Homer, wake up! There's still a few minutes till our usual bedtime.
No, my invention!
Yeah.
So why would you need to see it? You're the genius that invented the product in question.
And the other story in the episode is Bart's thing. And I did like with Bart and Milhouse. You know.
Oh, yeah, when they're walking to school.
Yeah. The sun is out, the birds are singing, the bees are trying to have sex with them. That is my understanding.
Yeah. I like when they show their age.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then they realize that. It was PE sign up day. I did like, was it like Lewis and who's the other guy?
Richard?
Is it Richard? Is that his name?
No, that's what it says in the script. I could have pretended like I knew, but.
Okay, is that, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this gets worse every year.
It's like, any sign of Barton Milhouse?
Yeah.
Like, no, and if they don't get here soon, it'll be TS for them.
Love it.
Like, I only got that joke.
This time.
Because I assume TS means tough shit.
Oh, yeah. Headed swimming.
That's what I thought. That was like TS obviously stands for it'll be TS for them, like tough shit or something like that. And then, yeah, tethered swimming.
For real, Ralph. I don't feel right.
Literally just left alone in a pool.
Yeah. And then Bart ends up getting... It was good animation when he's like running to each one and it's getting, you know, filled up or whatever. Like that. The concept is a bit mad though, isn't it? Like
Bart does ballet?
No, like the PE sign-up day. It's like...
Is that a thing? Like in American schools? I don't know.
Maybe, but
like... To any American listeners, is that a thing?
It's, yeah. It's just the idea of like, you missed soccer, so like you have to... go to, like, the last thing left is ballet, like,
yeah. I must say though that I feel like ballet gets a bit of a bad rap, in that people always compare it to, like, it's not ballet, it's, you know, it's football or, you know, whatever. But ballet, by all accounts from what I've seen, is incredibly tough.
My god, your feet, like,
yeah,
yeah. Black Swan, I remember like seeing their like, because there was a lot of real ballet dancing, and like, just the way their feet looked, like, God, my God.
I wouldn't be able for it myself now.
Well, you need to be incredibly, like, flexible and fit. Like, your muscles, you'd easily fucking tear your... You need to be
so athletic and. And Bart does take to it fairly well.
I did like that scene where Bart is like, I'm out of here. And,
yeah.
You know, as he's trying to get out, he's like, and then...
love of movement, like, increasing.
Yes. And he's like, toes twinkling.
Yeah.
I'm doing ballet and I love it. But even the music and all of that was very good.
Yeah.
With Homer, like, on the other side of it, where Homer is, he's trying to get, like, a mortgage extension.
Yeah, and we have your pal.
My guy. He's just down as the manager, but I just love it.
What is, like, it? What is it about this guy that you like?
His voice. And, like, it's just like, I understand that, Mr. Simpson, but according to our computer, your credit history is not good. It says here that you've been pre-declined for every major credit card. It also says that you once grabbed a dog by the hind legs and pushed him around like a vacuum cleaner.
That was in the third grade.
Yeah, well, it all goes on your permanent record. I'm sorry, but if you don't come up with the money by tomorrow, the bank is going to take your house.
And then Homer straight away on the offensive, like, good luck finding it. I'm going to take the numbers off tonight.
Yeah, we'll look for the house with no numbers.
I'll take the numbers off my neighbor's house.
Then we'll look for the house next to the house with no numbers.
I love the silence then. Like, yeah, Homer thinks for a second. All right, you okay? Plus, he needs it by tomorrow. Like,
yeah, I mean,
how is he ever going to do that?
They did put it in, like, you know, it was like final notice or whatever.
Oh, okay.
They had, like, he's looking at a thing. It's actually before he called Vegas.
Right.
Like, that's why he called Vegas. He had, like, an envelope that said that there. But I don't know. It's like you say, it's just everything that they, like, the fact that they don't use his voice.
Again?
They use it, like, one other time. Not really, but it's similar, is the guy, the other Radioactive Man executive. Thank God we're back in hell.
Oh, yeah.
When people look after each other.
his role in this episode is kind of like goonish. Almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. That's what it is. It's like a goon.
He's a goon.
Behind the desk. But also, like you say, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's intimidating. I don't know. I just love it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And it's just the lines they give him, like the whole thing of pushing the dog on the hind legs. Like,
and everything going against him. And so surely he could have gone to, like, Barney or, like, Flanders.
Well, he went to Mo.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, Homer, I can loan you all the money you need. However, since you have no collateral, I'm going to have to break your legs in advance.
Gosh, Mo, I use these all the time. Couldn't you just bash my head in?
Hey, are you a loan shark? Do you understand how finance works? Now, let's do this thing.
Mo's so into it, Homer just backs away, like,
yeah,
the dark side of his friend.
Yeah. Do you know, are you want to understand how finance works? And he just, like, takes the, like, sledgehammer. Now, let's do this thing.
Like, no problem.
So he goes to Paddy and Selma.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, that's really, you know, last.
Like this, there is some good stuff. Like, I love Homer, how, like, happy he is. He's like, what a wonderful dinner. What a beautiful family. Somebody get a picture of me and the steak.
Yeah, he's in such a good mood.
Like, Paddy and Selma show up. And I don't know what it was like when she says, bring us some chairs, like a good blabbering lot. and then Homer, it's like Homer's in an action movie, like when he has these one-liners, like, time to fertilize the lawn. A couple of 500 bags ought to do this.
500-pound bags.
Yeah. And, like, grabs him by the neck under his armpits. Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of when they start putting the screws to him.
So he has to rub their feet.
And this one, when it was like, Barge is like, what are you doing? He's like, Homer's getting ready to give us a foot rub. He's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a foot massage. At least give me that. Like the distinction, like, that's between. The
difference.
Yeah, it's like something classy.
I must say, before that, I did like the joke that Marge was like, she's like, this calls for a celebration.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the most international coffee in the house. Montreal more. So international. It's like, all we had was Nescafe. I'm very sorry. I'm
very sorry.
But I must say as well, I did, when Homer was rubbing her feet, I did just like the way Patty's like, you can start with the cards. Like a little grunt before. Then move on to Bunyan Country.
Then, like, Homer basically it comes to a head with Homer when they're here, and Homer
they start pushing.
It's like he's so defeated. Like
he walked into the room and she's like, "Am I wrong or did it just get fatter in here?"
Request permission to slink by.
Permission pending.
Yeah, I love that. Like,
I love the fact that was not even denied. Permission pending.
It's like, you can't spell obsequious without I O U.
I'll have to trust you on that.
And then he tries to light the IOU. They make him crawl around on the dog, like on the floor, like a dog.
In a dog voice, he has to say, "I am Homer Simpson.
I am Homer Simpson."
the lowly dog.
I love when she's like, "Say, I am Homer Simpson, the lowly dog," in a dog voice.
And he does. And then he still has the dog voice, and Marge's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Absolutely rattling, Marge."
And then the paper lands on the lamp. And I love Marge's like, "Is this projection accurate?"
He blew all your savings on jack-o'-lanterns.
And, like, that is when Homer loses. You don't!
Yeah, he proper, like, fucks them out as well.
And, like, then it's funny, he throws Marge out by accident.
Yeah, sorry, Marge. And then, he is just kind of really defeated in this
episode. Despondent now.
He's like, "I failed you as a husband and provider. At best, I was a B-plus dog."
Yeah.
And then it again, it's classic Homer. Like he's under the table.
I like Marge in this episode. I have to say,
like, I do actually like Marge in this.
She's kind of like Jewish or something in it, or maybe she's just like a bit sitcom-y. I don't know.
I like just how together she is. You know, Homer's crumbling, and Marge is just like, you know,
it doesn't really bother her. Like, you know, but Homer is like desperate to make it up to her. And then you get he sees that it's he can make money when he becomes a limo driver at Classy Joe's.
"Oh, I'll never pay off that debt.
Need money fast? You got no experience? Step up to elegance. Become a limo driver at Classy Joe's.
That's it. I'll make money with a chauffeur job. Good thing you turned on that TV, Lisa."
"I didn't turn it on. I thought you turned it on."
"No. Well, anyway, turn it off."
"It is off."
I love those jokes that have absolutely no relevance to
it's
the plot.
It's a real non sequitur. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're not even going to worry about it. Like, it's just a gag there.
Yeah.
But it's not like something like Family Guy or something with like a cutaway, you know? Yeah. It's not that way.
It's just a standalone. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Homer's first passenger is comedy legend Mel Brooks. He loved that movie Young Frankenstein. Scared the hell out of him.
I never seen that. Have you seen it?
Yeah, loads of times. Really good. Really good. But it's not a horror. That's the thing. It's a comedy. Yeah. Gene Wilder.
What would you say, if I may ask, is your favorite Mel Brooks movie?
Young Frankenstein is brilliant. Really, really good. I would probably say The Producers.
Okay. Very
just because it's amazing. I love Robin Hood, Men in Tights, just because
that'd be mine.
When I was a kid, that was the one that came out and I watched it.
Yeah.
But like as I became a teenager, like my dad started introducing me to all Mel Brooks' older stuff. So like Young Frankenstein, The Producers, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, deadly.
Like, yeah, they're all really, really good.
Is the 2,000 pound man thing from Young Frankenstein?
No, it's from, what's the show? I don't know if it's Smothers Brothers. It was from a comedy show that him and Carl Reiner did, because Reiner, like, they're best friends in real life. You've seen that Comedians in Cars sweet episode, like, you know,
for some reason this whole time I was thinking of Rob Reiner.
Carl Reiner's his dad.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like Rob Reiner. Reiner dandy. But yeah, I think it's either off the Smothers Brothers or one of those, I don't know if it's Ed Sullivan.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like it's
skit, like
the skit thing from the 60s. Like,
I did, I liked the fact that, you know, he's reluctant to do it. It's like, it takes the genius. And then straight away, when he's like, "Did they have national anthems 2,000 years ago?" It's like, sure.
Of course, we was caves, but every cave had a national anthem. I'll never forget my game's national anthem.
What was that national anthem?
Let them all go to hell, except K-76. What's with the siren?
And is that, like, I don't know if you know it well enough, like, is that a real thing, or did they make that up for the show?
Except no, K-76? No, that's that 2000. But the 2,000 pound man, I don't think that's what it's called. The joke they're kind of making is, because Wiggum calls it the $2,000 man.
Oh, yeah.
Thing, like.
So it's so like, something else.
I think it's supposed to be, you know, the year, whatever, 2000 AD or something like that.
Mel Brooks, 2,000-year-old man. That's what it is.
Is it?
From 1967, yeah.
What's it on? What did it come from?
It's like some sort of comedy hour. It aired on the Colgate Comedy Hour in 1967.
Yeah, how about an anthem?
Had a national anthem.
What was the anthem?
Well, you see, it was very fragmented. Fragments.
Yes.
It was a nation.
Yes.
It was caves.
Yes.
Each cave.
It was a nation.
Each cave had a national anthem.
Yes. Well, do you remember the national anthem of your cave?
I certainly do. I'll never forget. You don't forget a national anthem in a minute.
Let me hear it, sir.
Let them all go to hell, except Cave 70.
Yeah, I love how, like, Wiggum, basically, he wants to do it. He's like, I'll be, you'll be Carl Reiner, and I'll be Police Chief Wiggum. He's like, you let me play Police Chief Wiggum. I hate Carl Reiner. Like, what's that. Funny is they're best friends in real life.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The little, like, I'd say Mel Brooks is such a good sport when it comes to, like, any of that sort of stuff.
And meanwhile, like, Bart has been doing the whole ballet thing.
Yeah.
Like, Skinner's like, we even bust in
I love that.
Troublemakers from another school.
So it's basically most of them are there for detention. And like the bully, I love Jimbo's like rationalizing with himself throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, he's graceful yet masculine. So it's okay for me to enjoy this.
I haven't been moved like this since the Join the Club. And Bart then reveals himself, and of course, they all chase him.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
And I knew as he was saying that speech, you know, I took a chance and did something I wanted to do. And if that makes me a sissy, I knew Lisa'd be all over that as well.
He's a sissy. Let's rush him. And then when he does the leap of faith thing.
Yeah.
I love Jimbo. I was like, looks like he took a pretty bad spill.
As long as he's hurt.
Yeah.
And Lisa just gives him a kiss and walks away. I love that. It's like, why did you just leave me here when I clearly need medical attention?
And that's it. Like, that's that one resolved. And we're right at the end of the episode, really, then as well, where Homer is doing his limo driver test at the DMV because Chief Wiggum told him he had to go there. And
the fact that he would be like, these two broads ought to sort you out.
But the whole thing where Homer is basically saying, I think God is teasing me, like he teased Moses in the desert.
Tested. God tested
Moses. Poor marriage. She's like, just try to be nice to my sisters. It's so hard on me with all you fighting all the time.
Homer gets so sarcastic. Yeah. Oh, okay, Marge. Then I'll hug some snakes. Yes, I will hug and kiss some poisonous snakes.
I love how satisfied he is with himself.
Yeah.
That's sarcasm.
And I tell you, Homer taking his limo test gave me flashbacks of my own multiple driving tests.
But, like, they're so hard on him. It's like, seatbelt twisted, -1 point. And Homer's like, nagging the driver, -10 points for you.
Being a jerk, -1 million points. And the whole time, like, they're filling in, he's like, oh, someone didn't fill in a circle all the way.
oh, that's good. Oh.
It does seem satisfying to stamp that yoke. I did sense that satisfaction, all right. But, they light up and...
I like everyone's voice. Ladies, please don't tell me you're smoking in the government building, because that is precisely the kind of infection that can cause a couple of sisters their promotion.
And I mean, they go on for so long where and Homer, he just loves Marge so much that he like, you know, takes a bullet for them.
Yeah, and then like it's just like she calls him worse than Hitler
because she slaps him in the face and says he's worse than Hitler. Like, arrest this woman for assault.
So they get the hell thing, and actually, just like it ends very much abruptly, where it's like, there's like anything we can do is like call off the debt,
or say we can let you pass your call driver. Off the debt. Oh well,
that's off. Let's go, Marge, and then that's the episode.
That's ended. That. Yeah, like, and Bart never takes up ballet again. No, like, even though he loved it.
Yeah, like that's the episode there, and I guess we get into ratings. We'll. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't. I mean, it had, like we said, it had some big laughs, but the rest of it was a little bit fillery for me. Now, you know, credit where it's due. It was the writer's first script, and you know, it is The Simpsons. It's better than the majority of shows on TV.
Save this for ratings.
Sorry,
okay?
I'll save it for 10 seconds. Yeah. Let me ask you something.
Please.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Sucker. What did you think of it? Well, we know.
If I'm going to be giving it a rating, I had a lot of fun discussing it here with you.
Yes,
you know, it's been half an hour. We've been chatting about it, and like you say, we've talked about high highs, but it is fillery. You know, it is very like inconsequential. I know every Simpsons episode kind of is, but also, like by the nature, it is. It's, you know, it's a 22-minute. Thing, but like you look at like Bart versus Australia last week, that felt big. It felt
This felt the opposite. This felt
throwaway,
very contained.
It has some of my, like I say, some of my favorite bits.
That's your favorite one liner, isn't it?
My favorite like one off character is him. Like, definitely.
Who would your MVP be? Would it be himself?
No, he's not in it enough to be my MVP.
Yeah.
The same with like Mel Brooks. I love like the two of them. I'm actually going to give it to Patty and Selma this time around.
I was not expecting that.
I found myself chuckling so much at like their one-liners, where just like that, like, oh, my blubber-in-law. like just
they were actually funny in
the spin they were putting on.
You can start with the gun.
He's like, permission pending.
Yeah, it was good.
Nothing's broke except Homer, you know. And we didn't even talk about that whole scene where it's like they give him the check and it's like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
We'll take care of you. Yes, care. Cut him a check and get him the hell out of here.
I love that.
Almost like,
banging the door. Yeah. Cut him a check and get him out of here. Can I ask what your rating would be?
I'm going to give it an 8.7.
Okay, 8.7. So just logging that.
It'll be a bit lower than my last few ones. But like when we're doing the end of season awards, like there's a possibility like something for like best joke or, you know, something like that. Yeah. They might come from this episode, like, because they had such big laughs. But
that's
the rest of it.
That's
didn't.
The thing. Even our least liked episodes of any season still has some of the most memorable jokes that we would still quote today. Like, it's odd to even say that. If any other show had one of those jokes, I'd say it's a good show. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like so. Like, that's why. Like, especially these seasons, like 4, 5, 6.
It's just solid gold.
I'll be interested to see what 7 and 8 and 9. But
I've watched a couple of episode 8s or a couple of season 8s in the last while. Joni's kind of getting into The Simpsons, so I've been trying to find sort of kid friendly ones. Loves the Halloween ones, so she's definitely my kid anyway.
But, six after her dad,
but yeah, I mean, like season 7 and 8 have been, from what I've seen, like so good. Oh, so good. Yeah. If you're asking, Terry, my MVP is going to be Homer.
Yeah. I couldn't just like giving it to him again. I know, so many times.
Yeah. It's like six Homers for you.
I was this season.
It was a close tie up, to be honest, between Homer and Marge. I did like Marge in this.
Marge is the other one I was thinking as well. Yeah. Like, you know?
Because it's rare that she would get it, but I'll give it to Homer. My rating, Terry, since you asked, would be an 8.1.
Mm.
Which I feel is more than fair. So that's that's what I give it. 8.1. Okay. Look. I'm realizing how low my energy is in this episode. My brain is fried today. People, I'm sorry, all right? And it wasn't the best episode either.
My back was sore before we started doing this. and now it's killing me from carrying
He's been carrying the show, all right? Cards on the table, as Terry likes to say. I'm just logging this now. Hold on, so I don't forget our ratings. Anyway.
Okey-dokey. So, Terry, do you know what we have coming up next week?
No, I do not.
I am interested to see how it holds up.
A Star Is Burns.
Yes, indeed. You truly are the King of Kings.
Pure egotism. Self-indulgent tripe.
Right. Andy, should we get our plugs in?
Please, Terry.
Where can people find us?
They can find us on Instagram, on Twitter at Put It in H Podcast. You can email us putitinhpod@gmail.com. What else can they do, Terry?
Well, you can support us by signing up to our Patreon.
Yes. Now,
$5 a month will get you access to our bonus episodes that we're producing every other week. Also get you access to our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we are reviewing the films of the Marvel Cinematic Universe at the moment. We have got 5, I think it is, on the free profile. This is our first one that's going for Patreon members only, and it is The Avengers.
Yay!
I'm looking forward to it.
If you haven't subscribed to that one, it's called What's So Great About, so you can find that wherever you get podcasts. And if you like those few episodes and you want more, it's patreon.com/putitinh. And you'll not only get that, and you'll not only get this, but you'll also get the extras that we do as well. And some goodies.
And if you can't afford the fiver a month, because I know it's tough out there, everybody, a 5-star rating review goes a really long way. Really helps get some eyeballs on the product.
And if I may say, we haven't had a rating in a while. So if you haven't rated us and you're on... It's only really the iTunes one we're interested in. Thanks for rating us elsewhere. But it's really the iTunes one is the money rating. So, please.
Gets us in the charts. But, you know, or tell a friend. You know, I listen to these two Irish lads waffle on about The Simpsons and their cats and stuff like that. Like, so, you know, they're agreeable enough to listen to. So why don't you listen to them?
Come with us.
Yeah, you know, it's on this journey that we're doing.
I should say, we were discussing some merch during the week. We have. I'm letting people in behind the curtain here, Terry. We have withdrawn the Patreon funds, and we're going to put it solely in jack-o'-lanterns, in t-shirts. I've got a manufacturer lined up, Now I have to send you on some mock-ups. Because we never really decided on which one we were going to use. Maybe I should put it to the fans, or should we just decide?
No, we decide. God almighty. Cut all this.
There's merchandise coming. There's merchandise coming. That's all. Okay. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Okay. Well, look, we'll leave it there. So, as the man says.
Yes.
And blew out my mic there a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, nice.
So we will see you all next week or over on the Patreon.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening. And if you liked my energy on this one, I'm going to be bringing it twice as hard in the next one. All right. Oh,
God.
All right, Terry.
Yeah, sure.
used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower up to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we look swell, full of that Yankee doodly down. Half a million boots went slogging through hell, and I was the kid with the drum. Say, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al all the time. Why don't you remember? I'm your pal. Say, buddy, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, ah, gee, we look swell, full of that Yankee doodly-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell, and I was the kid with a drum. Oh, say, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Buddy, can you spare?